Jack, thank you so much. It's a real pleasure to be back with you. And let me see, navigate the technology and share my screen. And then I'm going to tell you about cultivated meat, how we can use it to secure our future. So, essentially, what's this all about? Well, let's look to the sky for a moment, and let me take you back to September 2019, and 250 miles above the Earth, hurtling at 15,000 miles an hour, the International Space Station was about to do something extraordinary. It was about to produce the first beefsteak in space. Only there was no cow. What there was crew members aboard the space station, one of them in a white t-shirt, looking remarkably underdressed for doing something so incredible as he poured stem cells that had been blasted on a rocket ship into a nutrient soup to to produce the first 3D steak from cultivated meat. This product, cultivated meat, is what it sounds like. It is producing meat, but without the animal. Often called lab meat by the media, it's something which it could be a real game changer for the future of food. Let me tell you why I see this as important. Well, when I'm at home, I live on a farm in West Sussex. My neighbors are 40 cows, and this is a picture of those 40 cows. And it looks a bucolic scene, and it is. I'm currently in Brussels, though, talking to the European Commission about the future of EU agriculture. And I can tell you that in the UK, in the EU, and increasingly across the planet, the animals are not quite kept as I know them at home. The majority of animals are caged, crammed, and confined, kept in factory farms, be that for meat, milk, or eggs. And factory farming essentially has two sides of it. There's the sides where what the first side is where the animals are, which looks like a space-saving idea, but actually isn't, because we have to having taken the animals off of pasture and out of woodland edges and off the land, we have to use vast acreages of relatively scarce arable land elsewhere to grow the animals' feed. More than half of the arable land in the UK is dedicated to animal feed, nearly two-thirds in the EU. And of course, 35 million tons of soya is also imported into Europe every year as animal feed. This has a massive impact because keeping animals in factory farms means that essentially we grow their feed in an industrial way using chemical pesticides and fertilizers, and fields start to get bigger, and those fields start to turn into prairie-like scenarios. And as the fields get bigger, so the trees, the bushes, and the hedges disappear. Then the chemicals come in, the pesticides, the artificial fertilizers, which means that the weeds and the insects that are needed by the birds, the bees, the butterflies, and everything else disappear, leaving us with the crop. And then what do we do with that crop? We feed it to the factory farmed animals, who then waste the vast majority of the calories and protein involved in conversion to meat, milk, and eggs. In this way, we waste enough food to feed half of humanity alive today, 4 billion people. It's a waste. It's a meaty impact. And if I show you this slide of an American feedlot where you can get 100,000 cattle, not a blade of grass in sight, totally different from the West Sussex farm hamlet where I live. And those animals will be grass will be fed on grain. And so what is that meaty impact? Well, animal agriculture produces 14.5% of total greenhouse gases. That's more than all the exhaust fumes from the world's planes, trains, and cars put together. Agriculture occupies half the world's habitable land. 83% of it is dedicated to animal production, providing humanity with just 37% of our protein, less than a fifth of our calories. Essentially, we're being shortchanged. We're using all that land, creating all of those greenhouse gases. And for what? 37% of our protein comes from livestock production, which shows you that plants are producing the majority of our protein directly for human consumption. It's a big impact. And the trouble that we've got is that factory farming is not only the biggest cause of animal cruelty on the planet, but is integral to the climate, the climate challenge that we're all facing, the triple planetary challenge, as the UN calls it, of climate, the collapse of nature, and the increase in pollution. But what factory farming also does is it has a big impact on the one thing we need for food in the future. It erodes, it has a big impact on our soils. Soils are eroding 100 times faster than they're being formed. A third of soils worldwide are already degraded. And scientific assessment is that if we carry on as we are, then we have just 60 harvests left till the soil is gone. 60 years left. No soil, no food. Game over. So we need a rethink. If we're going to bring back nature, if we're going to stave off catastrophic climate change, if we're going to save the means to create food in the future, then perhaps we've got to rethink what we're doing and what we're putting on our plate. Rethinking protein is a really important theme going forward. And one of the reasons for that is that the global appetite for meat is currently busting planetary boundaries, be they climate or biodiversity or nitrogen and other aspects. In 2015, we were busting three planetary boundaries out of possible nine. Now we're busting six, and things are getting worse. So, how do we rethink protein? Well, the first thing is, if we're going to get food back within our planetary boundaries, then we're going to need to reduce the amount of meat and dairy that we're eating. It's not something everyone wants to hear, but that is the scientific assessment. How much reduce? Well, about 50% globally. And in high consuming regions like the UK, the EU, and America, we need to reduce by more than 50%, 70% in the UK and Europe, 80% in the USA. So these are big challenges. And we've seen the rise in plant-based meats. We've seen the rise in veganism, which is wonderful. I remember 35 years ago that veganism was something which most people didn't understand. They hadn't heard of it. If you said you were a vegan, they said, "What?" They thought you were talking about something from Star Trek. I remember the media talking about the vegan society as being the flat earth society of food. But now things are different, and plant-based meats are meat alternatives are now coming much more to the fore. Pat Brown, CEO of Impossible Foods, one of the leading innovators, says that, and unlike the cow, we're getting better at making meat every single day. So this could be part of our solution in reducing the amount of meat and dairy we are eating. But the trouble is that despite the rise in recognition of the need to reduce meat consumption, and despite the rise in plant-based alternatives, more people are eating more meat across the world than ever before. we have an insatiable appetite for meat, and this is an issue that we have to address. So let's call in a new innovation: meat, but without the downsides. Cultivated meat, meat that is produced from stem cells in a bioreactor. Those stem cells are taken from living animals using a harmless biopsy, and then grown in the bioreactor. The great news is that it's much, much lighter on the planet in terms of greenhouse gas emissions, 80 to 95% lower, particularly when you're using renewable energy, 98% less land needed. And in a world where we're running out of land and diminishing our soils, that's important. And the great thing is that a single sample from a cow can produce a huge amount of cultivated meat, 80,000 quarter pounders. Now, this is not just a pipe dream, it's not science fiction. This is something which is now starting to see commercial reality. It's already been given the go-ahead for commercial sale, cultivated chicken in Singapore, and the United States Department of Agriculture gave approval to two companies in 2023. And there are predictions that cultivated meat could be widely available in shops near you within the next 5 to 10 years, which is so important when we're looking to put our food system back within planetary boundaries, end the animal cruelty, stop the destruction of our soil and the emission of greenhouse gases. What better than to use the renewable energy equivalent of food? Renewable energy is something which is produced differently without the fossil fuels, of course, but still you access it in the same way. You put your plug into the socket and your device powers up just as it did before. Well, the great thing about cultivated meat is it's meat without the downsides. It's meat, but not as we know it. It is the renewable energy equivalent of food. So when we go back to that space mission in 2019, it was interesting to note that the company behind that mission, a company called Aleph Farms, wanted to show that cultivated meat really could be produced anywhere, anytime. That was the point. And when we look back at the urgency with which we need to change our food system, if we're going to avoid planetary catastrophe, then what better than to look to that space mission for inspiration? And I believe that we now have a once in a history opportunity to create a sustainable future for our children. That is what's at stake. And that we, with time running out, we could be looking back on that space mission, trialing cultivated meat, and see it as one small step for humanity and one giant leap for life on Earth. Thank you so much for listening. Cultivated meat to secure our future.